Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. We're back.
We're back. It's Monday. Hi, everyone.
Dave, I feel like it's kind of appropriate for us to say it's Monday, and you know what that means.
Yes.
Given our guest today. So, as usual, Dave, with a guest on,
Eric, please do not bury the lead.
I'm not going to bury the lead, Dave. So Jazzwares, right? They are very literally nearly everywhere in the toy world these days, with the likes of Halo, Fortnite, Pokemon, Roblox, and even UFC figures dominating the toy aisles. But with all of those IPs that we just mentioned, nothing is quite as hot as their current AEW unrivaled line of wrestling action figures. And joining us today is the man who has the task of turning your favorite AEW superstars into highly articulated, highly detailed toys. I, of course, am talking about Jazzwares lead designer, Magic Almost. Magic, thank you so much for joining us on Adventures in Collecting.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, it's we are excited as well to have you.
Very much so. Very much so.
So how's everything going? We were talking a little bit before we hit record here. So did you enjoy a nice little restful period here before you kind of kick it back into high gear?
Most definitely, yeah. With the Chinese New Year, things slowed down a little bit, so it's been a little easier these last 2 weeks. But yeah, it's been really stressful, obviously, getting all this stuff done. But it's been really worth it, and definitely rewarding in the long run.
Well, it's nice to hear that you got to come up for some air for a little bit. That's important.
Yeah, definitely. I've been catching up on some video games.
It's been fun. What are you playing?
I've been replaying God of War 4 on a PS5.
Nice. It's gorgeous, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mind blowing how much better it is.
Yeah, between the graphics bump and the frame rate, it's worth the upgrade for sure.
It's almost like my favorite game on PS5, just in general. It's pretty insane how good it is.
Yeah, that's probably. I keep hopping back and forth between finishing the Miles Morales game with my daughter. She likes watching all the Spider-Man stuff, and then when she goes to bed, I fire God of War back up and I play through it again.
I have not played the newest one yet, but I am a fan of the series.
Oh, that's excellent. You got to try it out.
So before we jump into your history with toys and of course, you know, the AEW figures, we ask all of our guests, what are you currently collecting?
I'm currently collecting a lot of stuff. I'm pretty all over the map when it comes to collecting. I just usually, whatever I like, I'll try to like pick it up, even if it's like random things. But lately, I've been kind of on a 6-scale kick, so I've been buying a bunch of random 6-scale figures. There was this anime that came out. I don't even know what it's called, but they had like a lizard face dude. It looked pretty cool. I just picked that dude up. And just like random IPs. This one's called Mind Game. I don't know what it's called. It's by Damn Toys. It's like this dude in a big puffer jacket. It's awesome. Just really detailed. So I kind of just pick up a lot of inspiration from all over the place and just look at that stuff I like and definitely try to incorporate it into like my work. Use it as inspiration.
That's interesting. So you, it's almost like it's the equivalent of somebody who is walking through like a liquor store and they buy a bottle of wine because the label looks cool.
Yeah, basically.
No, that's awesome, because I mean that must create, you know, a really cool you know, and very textured display with all the just the different, you know, the different figures and like the different looks and everything.
Definitely, yeah. Like I'm looking at it now, like I'm kind of getting lost in it. Like it's like just a bunch of stuff. Like you said, texture is a good word. It's all over the map. But yeah, I try to just think about it as inspiration and try to just think about like what I like about certain things and why I like this versus that, or why something is more successful than something else. And just really just try to soak it all in and see what's out there.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a very cool, very eclectic collection of toys, which is really awesome. Magic, how did you find your way into the toy industry?
I actually had always wanted to be a toy designer since I was pretty young. I think when I was like 11 or 12, I like was playing with the Ninja Turtle and I realized like this is like some artwork, like someone sculpted this and someone created this, and that actually could be like a line of work to get into, and like it's part of like it's like a type of art doing this type of thing. And so I was really driven just by that thought, and I kind of focused all my efforts towards this path of toy design ever since like eighth grade, really. And then high school, I did a ton of art classes, sculpting. I made my own clays and ceramics and stuff, and lots of drawing. And then in college, I was really fortunate that LA has a college, Otis College of Art and Design, that actually has a toy design program. And it's really well connected and really probably the best thing you can do to get into the toy industry. So I focused all my efforts into getting into Otis and going through there. And then it's been working in the industry ever since.
That's awesome. What were some of the early things that you, like when you first broke into the industry, what were some of the first things that you got an opportunity to work on?
When I was still in college, I interned at Jax Pacific. So I worked on the Men in Black and Real Steel with
the Hugh Jackman, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of came and went. It's kind of sad. It didn't really last too long. Same thing with Men in Black 3. Those things kind of just came and went. But I did that stuff and I was pretty like informative. But then I also got a chance to work on a girls team when I was there. So I ended up doing like Winx dolls and different like glitter fairy stuff. That's pretty cool too, I guess.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy to think about it like that, because of course we'll get into the wrestling figures in a little bit, but I think, you know, having a background like that where you've had the opportunity to work on vastly different lines, it does inform, you know, future things. So, like, I'm sure like working on, you know, a line that was more so about, you know, like you said, like glitter and fairies and stuff, it teaches you, I'm sure, more of kind of like the delicate end of things and the more kind of like dainty aspects of toy making, like smaller joints and kind of that issue. And, you know, now you're working on, you know, wrestling figures that have these very small details, and I'm sure you're drawing on some of that for, you know, for some of those details.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the soft goods. I think that was my first time actually getting to see how soft goods were manufactured at that point, and like picking patterns and like those types of different things and textiles and all the stuff that's out there in that world that I've never had known before. So that was pretty cool too.
What was like a surprise from maybe like working on an IP that you weren't expecting to be working on?
When I got out of college, I worked at Jack Specific. I got hired after college and actually worked on Monsuno, which was a Jeremy Padour creation. I met Jeremy for the first time then. I don't think he remembers me, but like I worked for him for about 3 months doing that on Monsuno, which was kind of a Pokemon-esque battle game. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. So then from there, I went to Wham-O, which was a ton of like outdoor play stuff, like slip and slide, boogie boards, general sports equipment, and inflatables, pool toys, just really all over the map with that stuff. So that was kind of eye-opening, actually, because I got to do a lot of stuff I never thought I would be doing, which is pretty cool.
So going back to the idea of the textiles and kind of the deco aspect of toy making, each release in the Unrivaled line, the AEW Unrivaled line, which you're creating for now, represents a specific appearance that each wrestler has made. So what goes into the decision to represent, you know, one episode of Dynamite, you know, that a wrestler appears in versus a pay-per-view show, and, you know, recreating some of those outfits that like the wrestlers themselves were, you know, responsible for creating? Do you, you know, work with them directly? Do you work with the people that made the costumes originally? Tell us a little bit about that kind of whole process of deciding what outfit a given wrestler is going to wear.
Yes. So we work with AEW to get photo reference, and usually that's all the extent of what we get. We haven't worked with the costume creators yet, even though I think that would be tremendously helpful if we could, but I don't think we have access to them just yet. But what we try to do is just represent the look as accurately as possible. So the challenge would be, obviously, it's a miniature, it's not a real size person, so there's a ton of details that we can include. There's a ton of details that we can't include just for costing reasons, or even just because maybe like the sizing doesn't work, or something. It's just really detail oriented. So I try to literally just make his things as accurate and authentic as possible, and try to bring all of the details we can into these things, and then cut out what we have to, but still try to maintain the original look of them and try to capture the spirit as best as possible. And I think actually we've been really successful so far in these first five waves of representing them really well and not cutting too much out, or if we have, doing it in ways that's not noticeable. And yeah, so far we haven't gotten in trouble for it. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, the costuming has been outrageously good, and like, you know, full disclosure, you know, Dave typically handles the wrestling figure end of our podcast. You know, I watch AEW, I watch WWE, but Dave is more so the collector of the wrestling figures. But today I was fortunate enough on my on one of my toy hunts, I found a full case of Wave 3. So I'm currently, it was like as our friends at the Major Wrestling Figure podcast say, it was figure fate. the Target gods knew that we were interviewing you tonight, so they left me an Orange Cassidy. But you know, going into what you just mentioned with the detail, with the, you know, the pockets, the fact that he can put his hands in his pockets, the T-shirt, the fact that like what you guys did so that you didn't have to make a full T-shirt, you know, the Velcro, mm-hmm. so that that way he can have the T-shirt with the jacket or just the jacket.
Yeah, I was going to mention both of those things. Like, that's just sheer innovation right there.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad you guys dig it. That was always going to be a challenge, but like, we knew he had to put his hands in his pockets. Like, he had to do it. Like, we had to figure out some way, hell or high water, that we made his hands go in his pockets, just because he's just so known for that. It'd be such a big missed opportunity if we didn't try. The jacket thing, too, was mostly because we didn't want the shirt to be super bulky. So we wanted it to be able to fit nice and tight on him, so it's not too, like, big and doesn't look too funky on him, because he's a kind of a small figure. So we did that, tried to think of ways to make everything work. For those pockets, my main concern really was that we wouldn't pass some sort of QA testing, because Jazzverse has really high standards when it comes to quality assurance and the quality testing. So my big concern was like, oh, this isn't going to pass a pull test, or it's going to tear easily, or it's going to do something, and then we're not going to be able to do it. So I was kind of really worried about that originally. But thankfully, it all passed and it all worked out. And then my original vision for it actually came to fruition. So that was really exciting to see. And then the fan response has been really awesome to see too. People really, really dig it, like appreciate that aspect of it. So it's been well worth all the effort put into it.
Oh yeah, the lazy thumbs up and the hands that go straight into the pockets. I mean, it's you know, going back to the idea of costuming, right? Like, he's a figure where, like, you, once you nail it, like, that's it, right? Like, he doesn't have any alternate looks. He's just, yeah, that's him, right?
And yeah, and you can hit the alternate look because you don't have to put the T-shirt on him.
Yeah,
like, the alternate look is he doesn't wear a T-shirt under the denim jacket.
Yeah, or you can take the sunglasses off, you know, like, yeah, you have everything that you need to for an art. Like, it's like the ultimate Orange Cassidy figure. It really is. Like, it has everything that you could possibly ask for. But going back to the idea of the costuming, right? Like stars like the Young Bucks. How did you decide, like, okay, this is the outfit that we're gonna do for the Wave 1 figures, and then this is the outfit we're gonna do for the Wave 3 figures? Because they, you know, they seemingly have a new costume or a new variation on their ring gear every episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, those guys change it up a lot. It's pretty cool to see. For Wave 1, it's actually pretty easy because that was the first event they did, Double or Nothing. So we were trying to capture all of those looks from like their very first appearance in AEW, the first event, Double or Nothing 2019. So that one was kind of easy. And those were pretty spectacular looks, to be honest. Those Elvis costumes are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Getting the jumpsuits are great.
Yeah. So that jacket was, I love seeing that come to fruition in production, because that was a real challenge to make those jackets, just costing wise, pull test wise, safety wise, all that stuff. There was a lot going into those. I'm happy they actually came out pretty well. Even the printing on the back was hard to do and hard to get accomplished. But you fight a lot of battles and try to get things looking as good as possible. Sometimes you don't win, but then I felt like with Wave 1, we got a lot of wins in there, so it was pretty cool. For Wave 3, those outfits, I had seen them do a lot of publicity photos in those specific outfits. So I wanted to choose something that they would be well known for and like really recognizable as the Bucks in. So those ones we chose because not only are they kind of simple, so they're a little bit easier to make and not so much detail, so we're going to like have to cheap out on them or cut a bunch of details out to not do properly. I thought they were like really iconic to the Young Bucks, as well as being a really cool look, just gold and blue. Like, it can't really go wrong with those colors, I thought.
Yeah, and having now seen them in person the first time today, they really do pop. You know, it was one of those things where I was like, I promised myself I was just going to get an Orange Cassidy for the photo promotions. I can't buy this whole case. I can't do it. Dave already has the figures. If I got to borrow them for photos, I'll just bug him. But I need an Orange Cassidy. I needed him.
Something about seeing him in person, like I even when I see him in stores, I feel like I need to buy them. Like, oh, I can't just leave them here. They're hard to find. I need them for myself. But then I think, like, I have so many of these. I have to leave them for someone else. But
the collector community appreciates it. One. Yeah. And two, I mean, that feeling has to be surreal. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, we've talked to other, you know, designers, and I ask them all the same question. It's like, what does it really feel like to be walking, you know, in Target? You know, you walk into Target for, you know, for ice cream or milk or toilet paper or whatever, and you're like, yeah, let me just poke in the toy aisle and look at the stuff that I made.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for me because I definitely go to Target just for the toys. Like, ice cream and toilet paper will come secondary, but like, it's definitely straight to the toys and like, okay, what do they got here?
One of us.
Yeah, I did it today.
I'm really lucky. There's a Target literally around the corner from me. They just built it like a year ago, so it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was actually nice. Cool walking in there, seeing the figures in the local Target, because I was thinking like, man, these things were made like around the corner from here. Like, I don't know if anyone would think of that, like that, oh, these were all designed 5 minutes from here. But yeah, the first time I did see them, I did buy two. I felt bad. I bought a Phoenix and MJF because they were the only ones left, and I was like, I need to buy these, just have the experience of buying my own figures and something I was so like intimate with, and like starting the line and kind of being so crucial to these developments. Like, these are kind of my babies more than anything else I've ever done, so I had to have that experience purchasing them. So I'm sorry, fellow collectors, two figures you're missing out on because of me.
You earned it Magic.
Yeah. that's cool though. So which wrestler has been the most hands-on so far?
There's been a lot. So last year at Toy Fair, we had all those wrestlers come by. They've been really hands-on, liking their stuff. Kenny Omega, Adam Page, and the Young Bucks. But I would say to me directly is probably Santana. He actually followed me and like messaged me and stuff and said how much he liked the figures, which has been really cool. He's just an awesome guy. So I'm glad his figure came out so well. He's definitely deserving of it.
Yeah, it's easily, the Santana and Ortiz are my favorite of the Series 4 ones. Like 100% definitely on the early... could make the top 10 of the year list. Like, for me, those are just hands down amazing figures. But not to mention just, you know, seeing some of the stuff too that Santana's put on Instagram with showing the toys to his daughter, and just, you know, his being a collector for his life too, and just being able to kind of see his own figure is amazing.
Yeah, that's what's really special for me too, just seeing these guys that are avid collectors and who have been working in this industry for a long time. Like, they're finally getting their, like, all their dues paid, and they're coming up and they're getting all the exposure they deserve, and they're finally getting their figures. And yeah, seeing that's been really, really special, especially for Santana.
And the other cool thing too is especially with the AEW roster, seeing a lot of just being from like the New York, New Jersey area, seeing a lot of the AEW roster from back when they were just coming up in like their indie days is amazing. To now see them be in a figure form is awesome too.
Yeah, that's cool. There's definitely a lot of East Coast guys in the AEW, aren't there?
Yeah.
Got MJF, Silver, all them.
Eddie Kingston.
Kingston.
Eddie Kingston.
That's awesome.
Alex Reynolds. Yeah. Santana, Ortiz. So many. Joey Janela. So what goes into the selection process for each series?
So there's typically lots of like rounds of it. Like we'll choose what we like for a wave, then we'll go back to AEW. They'll either prove it or say it takes people out or offer suggestions of who should go in there, and we'll go back and forth. Because there's kind of a lot of stuff that goes into decision making, really. Not only just costing, but like what we have existing, what's new, how to weigh out like all the different aspects of it. So we try to weigh everything as evenly as possible and like try to make really exciting waves that make sense from a storytelling perspective. So you have tag teams that are grouped together. You have rivalries that are grouped together. You have people that like kind of work within a wave. Like when you see them all together, like it makes sense in a way. It's not just necessarily all just random guys. So it's a long, complicated process.
Has there been, and I mean, granted, we're only five series into the, you know, and a couple of, you know, special box sets, right? Has there really been instances where you guys have presented a wave of figures and AEW has been like, well, actually, could you do this guy instead of this guy? Like, they really are that hands-on to, like, the character selection?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's been probably every wave, there's people that AEW suggests instead of, or maybe the timing's not right on them. So, yeah, it's a collaborative process for sure.
That's awesome to hear, actually, because, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had, another major wrestling company produce action figures, right? And another company that has really kind of, you know, risen high enough to compete with somebody like, you know, like the WWE. And the fact that, like, they, you know, Tony Khan and, you know, the rest of the people in charge at AEW, the fact that they are being this hands-on with their toys, like, it really kind of gives you those old, you know, warm and fuzzies from, you know, the rivalries of the 90s. It's fantastic. And I love to hear stuff like that. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really enjoy working with AEW. They've been nothing but like great to all of us, like from the top down, like being there for our events, giving us support, recording stuff for our reveals. Like they've been really, really great.
Yeah, that last set of reveals was awesome.
The last reveal was really cool.
Yeah, right? I wasn't expecting that. I was surprised by it, too. It was pretty cool to see.
And I loved that the first one that that Jeremy shared was Hikaru Shida. That was like, I'm like double fist pumped in the air when I saw that. I was like, yeah! So you guys have produced a lot of figures so far, a lot of different superstars. If you had to pick one, who's the favorite one that, or your favorite design so far?
I would have said Pentagon maybe like a month or two ago, because I just love Pentagon. Like I've been watching him for years now, seeing him at indies and seeing him like up close wrestle, and getting to see him on TV is really, really special, and making his figure has been awesome. But I'm probably leaning more towards Santana right now, mostly because I feel like his like outfit's not super crazy. Like he's more of a straightforward wrestler versus like Darby Allin or Pentagon, who like look cool, like look really cool on their own. So it's kind of hard to like mess those guys up, you know. But like Santana and Ortiz, like they're normal guys. Like getting them to look as good as they did, I'm kind of really stoked about that, and like really proud of those two in particular.
You know, I was hoping that was going to be your answer, only because, you know, and kudos to you, really. Seriously, because there are so many toyetic personalities on AEW. One of the ones that you guys just announced for series 5, I believe, Luchasaurus. I mean, we haven't seen the final product yet, just the renders, but like you want to talk about a toyetic guy. I mean, like yeah. you don't get really more toyetic than a guy that's, you know, a lucha dinosaur. I mean, it's fantastic. I can't wait to see the final image of that. But taking a to your point, like somebody who's more of just kind of an old school, you know, normal guy wrestler, and making an incredible toy out of that is a feat. Like that's a feat, and you really did accomplish that. I mean, both of those proud and powerful. They're fantastic. Both Santana and Ortiz. So yeah, kudos to you, man.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you feel that way.
Like down to the sneakers that Ortiz wears. Like it's the amount of detail is unreal.
Yeah, I love those foot shoe things.
Yep.
I'm sure they were very tedious to design too, right? It's like, God damn it, I gotta give him toes. Like
when I saw that, I was like, he really wears these wrestling? Like I didn't even notice. That's pretty cool.
And of course, we can't talk about them without talking about the single greatest accessory that any wrestler has ever come with.
The chancla?
Yep.
Yeah, I knew as soon as they pulled that out of that that birthday bag thing for Jericho, I was like, oh, that's gonna be in the figure.
Oh, so good. I nearly peed myself when the in-pack shots came out that day, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was immediately what I thought of, was like back to the Jericho birthday bag. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm growing up Hispanic, I've definitely been at the wrath of the end of one of those chanclas. So I feel the fear seeing it. So I knew, like, yeah, we have to do that. That's the most powerful weapon of all in history.
So going from your favorite design to one you're looking forward to, is there a member of the AEW roster that has not been announced yet that you are just looking forward to, you know, taking on? Somebody that you'd really love to work with and work on a figure for?
Definitely Brian Cage. He's going to be awesome. He's got to be in there soon. I can't say anything more, but whenever we get to do Brian Cage, I'm really looking forward to doing him. He's just an action figure. Just looking at him, he looks like
He is a human. He is a human action figure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He is a living He-Man figure. Thinking about it.
Like, I'm thinking, like, people should just do customs and pop a custom head on a He-Man, like, torso. It might actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially with like the Wolverine sideburns and everything. Like he's, yeah. We've seen many clips of the AEW wrestlers reacting to seeing their figures for the first time. We actually got to see one at Toy Fair when we saw Dustin Rhodes see his figure. Which reaction stood out to you?
You know, MJF was pretty surprising. Like he was really gracious about it and really like loved his figure more than I thought he would. I was thinking he was going to not be very nice about it, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he doesn't hear this, because if he hears that that you called him gracious about anything, he's probably not going to be very happy with
I'm
you.
I'm going to get in trouble. So.
we'll leave it in, but we'll also send you our information for the witness protection program, because, you know. Or you could just talk to Jeremy, because Jeremy got out of hot water with him with the whole Chase situation. So you just have to shoot him an email and figure out how to
definitely
stay out of MJF's path.
Man, we were in Chicago after, like, I think last year for Revolution, like they were doing the signing, and then he signed some kid's forehead, like MJF, like he or autographed it, and like I asked the kid, like, did you want that? He's like, no, he just did it. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
He is next level. Like he talk about living, sleeping, breathing, eating what he loves. I mean, he is just, he's MJF.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heel to the core.
Do you see fan input ever becoming involved in helping design a wrestler for either Unrivaled or Unmatched?
Oh, definitely. We've always been listening to the fans and definitely taking all the input in and like trying to fix things as we go along. Like Jeremy especially is really on top of like listening to people, like trying to get things improved just based on feedback.
Yeah, and we've seen that from, you know, from skin tone to faces to, you know, accessories mm-hmm. to everything. Like, you know, the line has so quickly evolved from series one to where we are, you know, where we are now. And that's one of the things I think, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, having somebody like Jeremy, who has such a long history with wrestling figures, right? I mean, he's often referred to as the godfather of wrestling figures, right? Mm-hmm. You know, having somebody like him with his experience, I think it must be comforting to know that you kind of, that he's got your back, right? Like that he's gonna listen and he's going to help you get what you need to produce the best possible product.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, you nailed it on the head. Like, it's really, really comforting knowing, because he knows exactly what these figures need to be and, like, the expectation levels from consumers and fans of what they want, like, what's expected by now. Because wrestling figures in particular have evolved so drastically over the years. Like, now they're, like, you have to do top notch or not even competing anymore. But another person, too, like, doesn't get enough recognition, I think, is Greg Mitchell. Like, he works, like, overtime, and he really is, like, the biggest spokesperson for this brand and really pushing to make it as best as possible. So I'm really thankful to work with him, too.
Yeah, and you guys are all – it's fantastic. And, I mean, we are fortunate enough to, you know, be sitting here having this conversation with you, and, you know, we've spoken to Greg, we've spoken to Jeremy here on this podcast. But we watch you guys interact with the wrestling toy photographers. We watch you interact with just kind of the fans who have questions, the collectors. You guys are so transparent and approachable. It's almost like at first, it's almost like, is this truly sincere? Like, I can't believe that these are at real life, you know, creative people in the positions that they are answering, the really getting into the weeds of the whole thing. And it's, I think that's part of the reason why you can't find these things anywhere, you know, because people know the amount of work. And, like, you know, if you're somebody who started collecting wrestling, you know, these wrestling figures in Wave 1, right, and you were vocal about feedback, you could almost go as far as to say, like, you know, part of your feedback is the reason why Wave 4 and Wave 3 are the way that they are, because, you know, you guys listen. And I think more people need to understand that and need to kind of hear that you guys really are paying attention and that you guys are listening, and, you know, it, and things are very obviously improving. You know, you're taking a great thing that was great to begin with, and you're constantly making it better. And it's awesome to watch the process happen.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that's what's cool is that Jeremy did encourage us to be, like, open with people and to interact with people online and be spokespersons for the brand, because we do love this stuff. Like, I eat, sleep, and whatever AEW is, like, my life basically right now, just especially being in lockdown. Like, I'm surrounded by the figures. That's kind of all I do all day. So when I hear other people as passionate about them, or people, like, as invested into getting them and making them even better, like, we definitely got to listen. I enjoy the interactions for sure.
And the other thing that's cool about it is, you know, you're seeing, like, not only is the line evolving, but you're also seeing the wrestlers themselves evolve, because AEW is only, you know, it's a new company, and, you know, these figures, this is a new line. So you're seeing, like, okay, you know, we've seen now Cody with the ringside one that's coming now. He has his neck tattoo and the original TNT title coming from the original Double or Nothing Cody. You know, like, Chris Jericho has changed his look, and now we're getting a new Chris Jericho. So, like, the line is evolving with the company, which is great to see.
Yeah, definitely. And we definitely need them to keep evolving too, because we're going to get stuck pretty soon making the same figure over and over if they don't. So I'm happy, like, Cody changes his look, like, almost every week, it feels like. And, like, Jericho too.
Yeah, like, Jericho, now he's got the scarf and the bat, and, you know, like,
yeah,
there's always something new.
Yeah, so, that's really good for us, because we could keep making more and, like, do more exciting stuff and then recreate these, like, looks that are really iconic from all the upcoming future iconic moments that happen. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
I still am hoping that you guys put out that joke wave of just all Cody's.
I wouldn't mind it. I like Cody. He's a cool guy.
Before we get into kind of some of the future stuff for AEW, I feel like if we fail to mention the UFC figures, we're missing an opportunity here, because those are incredibly awesome too. And you guys just announced the Wave 1 of the new UFC figures that are, you know, the different scale now. So tell us a little bit about about that. Like, how did we go from that one specialized, you know, smaller scale UFC figures to, you know, what we can see now in the future?
Yeah, so like, I think last year Jazzwork gave me, like, a pretty good opportunity to take over UFC as well as doing AEW. So what I wanted to do, like, immediately was just make them all in the same world and keep what we were going with AEW, do that with UFC and keep them in that same scale and try to give them the same articulation. just to keep them playable with each other. So you could set up dream matches between wrestlers and UFC fighters. And with those guys, like, it's pretty much the same approach as with the AEW guys, where you just want to recreate, like, moments. So if you look at the UFC Wave 1s, they're all from specific dates and they're all from specific times. Like, for instance, Conor McGregor is from when he won his double belts, or the two belts, and became the first double champion in UFC, or one of the first. I'm not sure if he was the first. So we gave him two belts. We gave him that attire from that night. We gave him hair, everything, his look from that specific night. So we can recreate that specific moment. And yeah, just create different play patterns and create different worlds of UFC, and like celebrate these times and celebrate like these moments in history.
Yeah, I love that you guys move them to the same scale as the you know, as what you're doing for the AEW figures, because of course too, and you know, we talk about this all the time with the Fortnite figures, is like, it's so cool that you have figures that are the same scale with stuff that other companies are doing. So like, you know, wrestling, Fortnite, they're great examples where you can really kind of have the matches of your dreams. And we've all been doing that, you know, as when we were kids, whether it was with Hasbro's WWF guys at the time, and, you know, the WCW Galoob figures, or, you know, the Toy Biz WCW figures, and the Jax, you know, Bone Crunchers, and then Titantron figures, right? Like, we were always taking all of the figures and kind of mashing them together in the ring. And now, you know, you can do the same thing, but with UFC, you know, WWE's entire catalog, AEW wrestlers, like everybody scales together so nicely. And it's just like, I love it. It's like an unspoken handshake.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it. I like that unspoken handshake. It's fun too, because like Fortnite, they're like every license is in Fortnite now. So like Star Wars, Mandalorian, all those guys are like, they're in Fortnite. So if you have Fortnite figures and you have these other figures, they kind of just work together. And it's pretty fun to play with them.
Yeah, I've been losing my mind the past few weeks with the Fortnite stuff, because it's like they announced like Ripley and the Xenomorph from Alien.
Oh, nice.
So like I immediately like ripped out, like I was like, all right, well, I can take the 6-inch Master Chief figure from Jazzwares, and I can take my Jazzwares Fortnite figures, and then my NECA Alien, and yeah, you know, Marvel Legends Captain America, and like here we go, like everybody get in the light box, we're gonna have some fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, just, you know, thinking of UFC real quick, and you were saying like different moments in UFC history, is there anything, you know, any idea or any plans of going like kind of back towards, you know, older UFCs, almost more like legendary stuff?
Absolutely, like that's definitely key to get there, a bunch of legends. There's so much like a rich history of UFC to pull from. We definitely want to go back and do as much as we can that way. But also, we want to celebrate the new guys, the up-and-comers, and people that are currently like on the roster. So it's like a trying to strike a balance between them, for sure.
What Dave is trying to tell you is he really just wants like a
Frank Grace,
like a Gracie figure.
Oh, nice.
Right? Or Chuck Liddell.
Yeah. It'd be fun to do Gracie with a gi. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I mean, if you could do a denim jacket, you could definitely do a gi.
Frank Mir would be cool though too.
Yeah.
It's like a beat up Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Sweet.
Speaking of legends, something that also comes up quite frequently, and again, not to keep bringing up Jeremy, but something that he's kind of, you know, mentioned on Twitter a few times, mentioned on Instagram,
and that he's outright famous for
the legends lines, right? So like the wrestlers that are not currently, you know, basically the ones that are not contracted by WWE, right? If like, do you see the possibility of even kind of re-exploring that legends line that he was so famous for, you know, at, you know, the superstars line?
Absolutely. I think Jeremy's gone on record saying we're going to do legends. Celebrating the like history of wrestling is definitely what we're trying to do. There's still like so much out there that never got figures or haven't gotten modern figures. That'd just be really fun to do, for sure.
We're super excited for it. I mean, that line was absolutely iconic. And to see the quality that you guys are putting into the AEW figures, into some of these, you know, really kind of like forgotten, you know, superstars, and get them into hands of like the next generation and new generation of collectors, and hell, us, you know, it's an exciting prospect.
Well, that, and it advances, you know, history. It's basically giving a history lesson to everyone. Hey, this person was somebody of note. Now do some research and watch some old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, like, more access to it now than ever, too, with YouTube and whatever else you can find online.
Yeah, I just watched for the first time, Dave, I'm going to screw it up, Onita and Terry Funk.
Yep, you're right.
Right, I got it. Onita and Terry Funk's exploding barbed wire match. Watched that for the first time last night, nice. And it was amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to go. Been meaning to go back and watch the Terry Funk Mankind or Mick Foley barbed wire match.
Ooh, I don't.
That's a good one.
I got to go back to that one too. So talking about things in the future, we've seen the Unrivaled, five series of the Unrivaled line. And you guys have talked about the Unmatched line. What can you tell us about the AEW Unmatched figures?
So this is where we're actually going to start to see some legends pop in and some people, old timers, I don't know what a better word to say them, pop in that you wouldn't necessarily get in the Unrivaled line. You're going to get more different stuff. Can't really give too much away, but there's a lot of surprises in Unmatched, which are going to be really fun for people. And I think collectors are going to really dig them.
Awesome. We love surprises. And just you telling us that there are surprises coming is more than enough news to keep us happy.
Well, I hope there's surprises. Jeremy said a bunch of stuff on Twitter, but I'm not following him super close. So he already revealed it. I don't know.
We are on him like hawks. There has been no name droppage yet as of yet. So
good.
So here's a good question. Are we going to see the tag team titles come to the line in the near future? I know that the first tag team champions SCU were announced for Wave 5.
Well, I can't confirm or deny anything, but I'll just say that we'll definitely see the tag team titles eventually in the line. 100%.
Yeah, it's the only one we're missing now, right? Because we have the women's title, we have the TNT title, we have the championship title. We need those tag titles.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is the short portion of our show before we really kind of wrap it up and let you go, where we posted a story on our Instagram. Thank you, by the way, for sharing it on yours as well. And we got a series of questions, and we also got a series of suggestions. So what I'll do is we'll break this up. Dave is going to ask you the first question from one of our followers, and then in the middle, before we do the last question from our followers, I'm just going to hit you with just the suggestions of a bunch of our followers that just wanted you to hear their opinion. And they will not be in the form of a question. You don't have to answer anything, just so that people know that they were heard. Does that sound good?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, Dave, let's hit magic with the first question from our followers.
All right. I'm just going to spell this handle.
I think it's Adalytics. Adalytics.
What's your earliest influence in action figure or toy design?
Ninja Turtles. Like, I was growing up, I loved Ninja Turtles. Like, I still do. They influenced my life, like, hugely. I don't know why. But, like, I was obsessed with them growing up. I was obsessed with them when I was a teenager, when they brought them back, like, in 2000 or 2004. And that line actually really kind of inspired me. That's the one I was talking about earlier, where I saw a figure and it kind of clicked in my head, like, oh, someone made this and I could do this for a living. So that 2004 TMNT line really kind of inspired me to go for it. And I collected a ton of them. And then seeing now the stuff NECA is putting out, which is just like 1,000 times better than any Ninja Turtle toy previously, it's just been insane just to see the level of detail we're at now, like how much things have evolved from the 80s till now.
Yeah, people have heard me make this claim, and I swear to this day I still swear it's true that I love the Ninja Turtles. You know, like I played with Dave's Turtles once I was older, because like those first Turtles were dated the year I was born. So I always made the joke, because like for me, the Ninja Turtles were the two movies. Like by the time, you know, Turtles and then Secret of the Ooze came out, like that was like perfect time for me. So Ninja Turtles, like film, Jim Henson Turtles, right? I always make the joke that the NECA stuff is so beautiful, I can't fall down that rabbit hole. But if they ever make Kevin Nash Super Shredder, or if they make the absolutely insane coming out of their shells tour Turtles, I'm in. I will buy those Turtles, I will buy that Shredder, and then I'll hunt down a movie Splinter, and I'm good. And NECA asked me to put my money where my mouth was last year. And I got them. And they are no joke. Like, immediately, like, so Star Wars is really my big thing in terms of collecting. I completely demolished one of my display cubes that was previously all Star Wars, just so that I could have those Turtles on display permanently. Like, they're never gonna go anywhere. That's it. Like, they are perfect action figures. They're absolutely insanely crazy. I love them. And to your point, yes, like, it is absolutely incredible. I actually just found my original Super Shredder this past weekend from Playmates Toys from like 1992 or whatever. And I took a picture of it next to like the new Super Shredder, and it's amazing how far we've come.
Yeah. It's kind of like weird. It's kind of like video games in a way. It's like in the 90s, like the video games we were playing, like Mario looked awesome. And then you go back and it's like, wow, just pixels and stuff. It's kind of like the same for toys, seeing them. It's like where they were incredible in the time, and then now it's like just been super HD'd and brought to life. Like, it's like such an insane fashion now. It's really cool.
Speaking of video games, you see that Turtles video game that was announced today? The Shredder's Revenge one?
I did not. I heard the name. I thought it was a cartoon, though. I didn't see more about it. That sounds awesome.
I'll share a link with you, but it's like an old school, like, Turtles in Time beat 'em up that's in the style of the animated series.
Awesome. That's incredible.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
All I could think about when we were talking about the coming out of their shells Turtles is just going to Pizza Hut.
Pizza Power.
It takes me back.
I think it's Pizza Power, Flying Saucer, Something Delight. Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
I don't remember.
I recently rewatched it with Maddie, Dave, and she loved the entire concert.
I'm sure.
When I think of those, I always think of those like hardcore edits they made from the Turtles and show thing, where it's like a hardcore band and they just like edit together.
Amazing.
I don't know why. I love those.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know what we'll call this, but like, here's a bunch of suggestions. All right, so I have these in order of the amount that they were suggested, because these, believe it or not, every single one of these that you are about to hear are all repeats. So like, there is nothing you're about to hear that was like just requested by one person.
Okay, let's hear.
All right, lots of requests for the figures to be in Malaysia.
To be in Malaysia.
Yeah, the AEW figures to be sold somewhere in Malaysia.
Interesting.
Apparently, they still have Toys R Us there. So
that's awesome.
So lucky. Malaysia. Second, yeah, that was the most suggested one. Malaysia. Second most suggested one is people would really like a scale octagon for the UFC figures.
Absolutely, so, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be great too. At Toy Fair, we saw the figures in. Last year, we saw the figures in an octagon, but those original figures, the smaller scale figures, and the octagon was honestly probably just part of the display, but they would look awesome with an octagon. The third most requested one, the Young Bucks in their Street Fighter outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, there you go.
That's a good one.
And then,
I mean, you would need the Kenny to go with it, though.
Yeah, because if you don't, he was dressed up as Ken, right? Or Ryu?
He was Akuma.
Akuma, right? They were Ken and Ryu, and he was Akuma.
They were Ken and Ryu, and he was Akuma.
Yeah, he actually wore the same thing that he wore in the Wave 1 version. He just had different hair. It was like kind of dyed red a little bit and tied up, and he had the symbol painted on his back. It's pretty cool looking.
It is. Those were really cool outfits. And then The last one is, so we talked about legends. So I'm actually going to, so yeah, we talked about legends already. So this is part legends. But the other one is we had three different people ask, will there be legends? And all three of them want the Steiner brothers.
Nice.
So some big Papa Pump love.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
So there you go. So I'm gonna let Dave do the last question here from our followers.
Okay, and this is a mashup of just a bunch of different questions. So, are you considering more playset like items outside of rings?
Absolutely. There's definitely a whole world we can build. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you go. I know.
That's not necessary to say anything's necessarily coming, but yeah, definitely considered.
Considered. That's why we worded it that way. Considering.
Yep.
We don't want to lock you into something that you don't want to lock yourself into. So you are considering it. Cool. All right. Well, Magic, Dave, sir, also outside of being co-host of this podcast, serves as our James Lipton. Mr. Lipton, would you like to take the final question?
Yes. Last question of the evening. What is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection?
Favorite and or strangest?
Doesn't have to be one thing, could be two things, but, you know.
Could be both, either one.
Last guest had an answer for both, and it almost put us on the ground. We were laughing so hard, so, I mean, it's... But no pressure. I'm just saying that was just an instance where somebody had a very, very strange Aunt May figure that just so happened to check literally every box that's ever been. Oh, wait, before you tell your answer, I need to say this. So I found out real quick. Magic, we had Brock McLaughlin on from Spin Master Toys, and he told us about this Toy Biz Aunt May figure that he had. And I looked into it. Not only did I find that it made one of Toy Galaxy's most WTF figures ever made, it was on one of his lists. But so Jesse Falcon, who works at Marvel and, you know, worked with Toy Biz and made a lot of those Toy Biz figures, apparently to this day that figure haunts his dreams to the point where he has not approved. An Aunt May figure in that style for Marvel Legends because of how poorly that one came out. So, like, not only does Brock have, like, a really creepy figure in his collection, he has one that, like, potentially has ruined all future attempts at an Aunt May figure from anybody connected to Marvel as long as Jesse still lives and breathes. So, there you go.
That whole line is a lot. That's the best way I can describe it.
I'm not gonna pepper you with pictures now, Magic, but I'll send you some pictures of this toy and some of the other ones that were in this line, and it will make you feel a lot better about what you do as a creative person.
That's awesome. They definitely send those. I want to see it.
All right. So now that I've distracted you from thinking about your answer.
You've distracted me from sleeping. Come on.
I think my strangest figure, it's not that good compared to that Aunt May figure, so be disappointed now, but I have an Enzo Amore talking smack figure, I think, whatever it's called, from WWE, from when I worked there, but it has a sound chip of John Cena in it. So when you push it, it just says, like, you can't see me. But I don't know, just coming out of Enzo's face, like, just something pretty weird about that.
No, that's really good. That's good.
Oh, man. And I'm assuming that was like that was just a packaging mistake, right? Like the wrong chip ended up in the wrong figure.
I think it was just like an earlier FEP model or sample, and like they just put the wrong one in there. But yeah, I still love Enzo. I think he's great. I know he gets so much hate and people do not like him and his character, but I thought he was awesome. And like really hilarious and really good at what he did. So I would get all the Enzo merch from WWE. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Magic, listen, thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us tonight and be on Adventures in Collecting. Before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to plug? And please let everybody know where they can find you online.
Online, I'm always just Magic Olmos. It's usually my handle for a lot of stuff. So Instagram, Facebook, whatever you can find. I'm not really on Facebook, but Instagram is a place to contact me if you guys want to come suggest more figures, more messages. But yeah, there's AEW Unrivaled and the UFC and Unmatched coming up too. Just that's the only thing I got going. I love those. It's on my heart and soul right now. So I'm really appreciative of all the support you guys have been giving us and the positive feedback. So thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.